You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Unabashedly Wisconsin news and talk brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome back to the second hour of Up North News Radio. 7:06 on this Thursday morning, October 17th. We're in the teens, kids. 19 days until the election. And coming up in our second half hour, our interview with Senator Tammy Baldwin. Her debate with the Republican challenger Eric Hovde is tomorrow night. We will carry that here on Civic Media, coverage starting at 6:50 for a 7 o'clock debate. And Senator Baldwin will be joined by our friends at Motherhood for Good. Before that, we will be talking in this half hour to State Assembly candidate Christian Phelps from the Chippewa Valley, running for one of the competitive seats that is the way it is because of the new maps that have led to more competitive seats all across Wisconsin. We'll talk about his work in public education advocacy and his priorities if elected to the State Assembly. Let's see, from Rob out in Tigerton, he says, good morning. He says, clear and 28 degrees. I had a meeting yesterday in Shawano. It was a beautiful drive with the fall colors. After a two-hour meeting, I had supper at Luigi's on Main Street in Shawano, had lasagna, and the drive on Highway 29, I saw a beautiful sunset from the moonrise. And I can attest with meteorologist Brittany Merlot and Luke Mathers, who's here for Greg Bach, that that was one bright full moon overnight. How are you, Brittany?
Oh, gosh, I am fantastic. And yes, I loved that moon last night. It just lit up the sky. And right now it's lighting up the frost out there.
Yes, it is. I'm sorry that I missed the rise. I always enjoy when there's a full moon is brand new. I was going to say new full moon, but it's not a new moon. Anyway, because it's coming up just as the sun is going down. And it is just gorgeous watching a new full moon rise, especially one as bright as that one. It was really impressive.
Oh, man, yeah, I missed it, too. That does sound fantastic.
Yeah, but instead, what we have to deal with what we have today, and that would include some warmer temperatures and a breeze. I mean, this range of temperatures, Brittany, at 7 a.m. at the bus stop, you know, you've got, 31 in Wausau, but 49 in Hayward, 42 in La Crosse, Chippewa's at 38, Wisconsin Rapids 36, but Amory's at 45, Madison 41, Waukesha 36, Milwaukee 39. It's almost as if something's coming our way, west to east, with some warmer temperatures.
Yeah, you're noticing that, aren't you?
I do math. Yeah, I got that.
Yes, we have some windy conditions, and that's allowing those temperatures to stay warmer into the northwest part of the state. So your winds are already gusting up to 15 miles per hour, which isn't much at all, right? You're probably rolling your eyes. But by this evening, all of the state, all of Wisconsin is going to feel 30 to 35 mile per hour wind gusts. And I even think in portions just south of Lake Superior, you may be even hitting 40 mile per hour gusts.
Now, these are out of the south, right? Yes. South winds? Yes. It's going to push all the leaves out of my yard. All I ask for every fall is one windy day out of the south, and this is it. This is my day. I'm heading to the backyard days. Right after this, positioning all the leaves. Get out. Get out.
That's hysterical. But hey, strategic work there. Yep. So congrats. Don't burn today. That's another thing. It's going to be beautiful, sunny, highs getting shoved into the mid-60s today, but no burning. A very, very high fire danger because of the dry conditions, the drought that the state is slipping into. And then you put these winds on top of it, anything could spread very, very rapidly. So overall, just a beautiful day out there and breezy.
And warm, which leads me to this strategic error. The Packers play at Lambeau against the Houston Texans pregame at 10 o'clock Sunday morning on Civic Media stations in Racine, Kenosha, Richland Center, and Park Falls. But it's going to be a warm, beautiful day on Sunday for the Packers to play at Lambeau, correct?
Oh, it is. Everyone's going to be in shorts and probably tank tops because yeah. we're talking mid-70s.
Yeah, that's summer. A problem for me. I'm going to the games, my first Lambeau Field game in 20-some years, and I'm thinking, it's getting to be late October. They're having this, whiteout where the Packers are in their, white uniforms. I don't have any white Packer gear, so I now have the Salute to Service white, nice, thick, fleecy, comfortable Packers hoodie. So I'm going to be in this very bulky white hoodie for approximately the first 8 seconds of the game.
There's still time, Pat. T-shirt. You can go to the pro shop. There's still time.
Exactly. You got this. That's your backup for later.
Yeah, this was just such a rookie move. All right, Brittany, thank you so much. Have a great day. We'll talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
All right. Again, you can sign up for our daily newsletter at Up North News. Up North News being a separate entity from Civic Media, but a happy little partnership we have going on here in the mornings, don't we? You can sign up at upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe in the top banner and stay up to date on the news that we are covering for you, including so many elections coming up in 19 days, and that would include races for the legislature. Democrats are hoping to flip 15 seats with these new maps and take control of the chamber. But even if they come closer, there's a pretty good chance we'll have a legislature that's a bit more willing to talk to one another, to compromise, to reach deals on things. So you're going to need some good people in office, both Democrat and Republican, depending on your district. Christian Phelps is certainly hoping to be one of those new representatives in the state assembly. And he joins us now from the Chippewa Valley, where he's running in the 93rd Assembly District. Christian Phelps, good morning.
Good morning. Good to see you.
Yeah, you as well. For folks who think the name is familiar, you're right. We've spoken frequently in the past about your work in public education advocacy, but you have been a candidate for state assembly for several months now. How are things looking to you with 19 days to go?
This is how I always say it. I know that I don't know everything, and I know that I can't control everything, but everything that I do know and can control is going really, really well.
Well, there you go. And I've been there. I'm with you.
I totally
get that. Are you finding a connection between the priorities that got you into the race and what you're hearing as you knock on, tens and dozens of doors mm-hmm. every day? Or have mm-hmm. you been surprised at all to hear that there are some things that voters bring up that maybe weren't on your initial to-do list in running for assembly?
Oh, I think in isolated circumstances, I've been surprised, but for the most part, I haven't been surprised about where people's priorities are at. And maybe that's because I have so much of a community organizing background, as you alluded to,
that makes sense. That checks out.
Yeah. Really trying to bring people together around the things that they care about. I've gotten a pretty good sense of what they do care about. And the reason I've done this work for so long is because it's what I care about too. Obviously, as you said, it's public education is my professional background and kind of my area of expertise and passion. And so that is in a sense, that's only one topic, but it's a pretty universal topic because everybody has a pretty direct connection to public education, whether they're, a parent or grandparent or an educator, or they're related to and love an educator or something like that. That's been one of the most frequent points of concern and priorities that I've been hearing from people, because many school districts touch the new 93rd Assembly District, including a lot of the Eau Claire Area School District, but also some rural ones like part of Osseo Fairchild, part of Oliva Strum, a pretty good chunk of the rural part of the Menominee School District. And these are some places that have had these high stakes referendums, people having to raise their own property taxes to fund schools that haven't been funded adequately by the state. And that really opens up a conversation to talk about the other things that people care about. If they're struggling to pay their bills as it is, they can't really handle another property tax hike. And that gets at how having more responsible and representative people in the legislature can help drive down the cost of living, which, as you can imagine, is one of the top concerns that people have in the Chippewa Valley when I talk to them. Because the state has so many leftover dollars that haven't been used of the taxes we already paid in state income taxes that it could use to fund our municipalities and public schools. And then we wouldn't have to raise our own property taxes. We could keep a little bit more of that in our pockets, and the cost of living wouldn't feel so staggering right now. So it's all connected.
Yeah. So it gets us back to the news yesterday or the day before that the year end, the final number for the state budget surplus for the end of the last fiscal year, $4.6 billion that the Republicans controlling the legislature basically left on the table. And as I say repeatedly, we're not saying you spend all $4 billion of that, but $4 billion left on the table is sounds like, as we said with Joseph Pecky last hour, sounds like a lot of missed opportunity by this last legislature.
Yeah, it does. And it's even higher than the number that I think I'd been using all summer and fall, which I was saying almost $4 billion. Turns out it's over $4 billion. Surplus dollars. And think about all the responsible things that have been allocated that haven't happened. We've had hospital closures in the new 93rd Assembly District. People are waiting for appointments that they thought they were going to have. I've talked to people, sometimes I talk to somebody every single day who was directly part of the layoffs in those hospital closures. Okay, so funding allocated for emergency healthcare needs in the Chippewa Valley that hasn't been released. Funding allocated for cleaning up PFAS, the dangerous chemicals in our drinking water, that hasn't been released. Municipalities having to take on, in the city of Eau Claire's case, one third of its current budget to open a cleaning facility to clean up those chemicals. And over $4 billion surplus dollars that could afford to do things like fill the special ed funding gap and have plenty of funding left over. I mean, these are things that people across the political spectrum and from across different, you know, ideologies and backgrounds, rural, urban, working class, middle class, like people have a really hard time disagreeing with proposals like releasing the funds already allocated to fund our community.
Right. I mean, again, as we've discussed repeatedly on this program, it's a shell game that's somewhat extra legal in that the legislature has already approved spending these dollars, but Republicans on the Joint Finance Committee refuse to release them, claim they can hold on to them because they're trying to extract some concessions from the governor. It may eventually be a court to decide all this, but the fact of the matter is that you are running against Republicans who would rather sit on all of this money and be content with water that is polluted with industrial chemicals rather than clean it up. Christian Phelps
and
is our guest.
That gets at why we have to flip the assembly, because that Joint Finance Committee that holds the purse strings has such an mismatched partisan allocation right now. If it were 50-50, we could be more responsible.
We'll have more with Christian Phelps, candidate in the 93rd Assembly District, coming up in just a moment. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Thursday morning, when you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network. Boy today, Alan Jackson is 66 years old today. We have today's history lesson every morning at 6:50 here on Up North News Radio. Up North News has a voting guide for you to check out, information on registration, voting basics, and much more. Find our coverage at upnorthnewswi.com. And there's another great voting guide for you. Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area has put it together for Civic Media. So head to civicmedia.us and check out Dan Schaefer's 2024 voter guide as well. Tammy Baldwin coming up in just about 15 minutes on our Women Win Wisconsin segment. We're talking right now with State Assembly candidate Christian Phelps from the Chippewa Valley. You can learn more about his campaign at PhelpsCampaign.com or look for Phelps Campaign on Facebook. And so, Christian, before we went to the break, we were talking about the lost opportunities of having such a surplus and what you could do with it. And Governor Evers, you know, repeatedly tried to use some of it to invest in childcare to address that crisis. But for other folks who say, well, wait a minute, what about our taxes? I would hasten to add that the governor proposed a middle-class tax cut, but Republican legislators would not move from wanting a tax plan that was quite heavily weighted toward the very wealthy. I'm not expecting you to give me a detailed budget here, Christian, but what do you, how do you talk to voters about a right-sized plan for both tax relief as well as the investments that we just discussed?
Yeah, about the way that you just did, in addition to just really helping people understand the relationship between state funding and local taxes, because I think there's a big, I mean, we're basically in between a rock and a hard place in our local communities right now, and I see it as entirely optional. Town boards, village boards, city councils are having to decide, you know, how do we keep our municipality running and hire enough people? And all of them are struggling to do that. And the options on the table are ask local taxpayers to voluntarily pay more into the municipality or make some cuts, or in many cases, both. Same thing with school districts. And so in addition to, like you said, you know, I help people understand that Governor Evers, you know, as you know, Pat, in my professional role, I have followed the last couple of biennial budget cycles from the state very closely and meticulously tracked what people's priorities are. And they overwhelmingly align with some of the proposals that Governor Evers has put into his budget proposals, which have been really strong proposals. And then this gerrymandered legislature and this very, very, very Republican committee, Joint Finance Committee, throws those proposals in the garbage, even after traveling to the state and hearing how popular they would be. And then they write their own budget that fails to keep pace with inflation and does not deliver any tax relief at the local or state level for working class and middle class people. That's why the governor needs more champions elected to the state house that will help him have the support he needs to get some of his budget proposals across the finish line for once, and the courage that he needs to take really bold action when bad proposals are put on the table as a counter argument. Making some of those investments in addition to, you know, making sure that we kind of make sure Wisconsin's tax system benefits working class people better, we'll make it so that people get a little bit of local tax relief as well, because they don't have to fill those budget gaps.
That's right. And again, I think it bears repeating. You mentioned it, and I like to reinforce it, that each year that Governor Evers has had to submit a budget, he submits a budget. And rather than Republicans talking with him and saying, okay, where can we meet on this? They zero it all out. They just throw it in the trash can, say, we're going to write our own and you take it or leave it, because they know their seats are safe. Well, they were until we got some new maps in here.
Exactly.
So I think it's fair then. I'm sure you've knocked on doors and had conservative leaning folks say, well, how do we know you're not going to be the same and just come at a budget from the hard left? You know, where have you shown that you can be agreeable and compromise with folks and be a responsible legislator for everybody?
What a great question. I love that question, because this 93rd district, Pat, looks the way that it should have all along. And by that, I mean about 55% of the population in the new district lives in the city of Eau Claire, meaning about 45% lives outside of it. It includes parts of Dunn County, Trempealeau County, and about half of Eau Claire County. So its population it spans a wide age range, because it includes, for example, UW-Eau Claire and CVTC, but it also includes a vast rural area. It includes farming communities. It includes villages like Oliva and Strum. And in order to win once, and certainly in order to get reelected, if the representative here runs for reelection, you have to win over a cross-section of voters that represents that diverse community, that the community that looks like the Chippewa Valley. It didn't make any sense to have legislative maps in this part of the state that boxed in a city like Eau Claire and then carved out only rural areas, because this part of the state has cities like Eau Claire nestled into rural areas. And I think you shouldn't be able to prioritize an urban community over a rural community or vice versa. And the other thing is, yes, I've knocked down a few doors over the course of the year.
I'll bet.
A few thousand. I find a lot of unanimity in terms of values. you know, the difference between the urban population and the rural population is much, much smaller than people think it is. As it turns out, most people, depending, regardless of where they live, want great schools and hospitals. and those priorities kind of bubble to the top no matter who I'm talking to. And I always point out, you know, not only does the representative finally have to win over a cross-section of voters in order to keep their seat here instead of just keeping their party leader happy, which is what it, for both parties, is the way it is under gerrymandering, basically. But also, my platform is very specific. It can be described as very progressive, certainly, but I wrote it based on what I have seen as the most popular priorities that people have. So, you know, my experience as a community organizer and as somebody canvassing to win over voters for this district is that these are the priorities that we all already share. And so while I can't promise that every single person will agree with every single thing I say or do in the legislature, I can promise that I'm coming at it from popular priorities for the Chippewa Valley.
You hear that? He wrote his own platform. Was not handed to him by a consultant. You can learn more over at PhelpsCampaign.com.
No consultant or party wrote my platform for me. No.
Nope. Or at Phelps Campaign. Christian, good to touch base with you again. Take care, and we'll be talking again real soon.
You too. Thanks, Pat.
All right. Women Win Wisconsin is next with Senator Tammy Baldwin. Right after this, you're up north.
It sounds simple. That's what you're thinking. Love can walk through fire without blinking. It doesn't take much.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Up North News Radio and our weekly Women Win Wisconsin segment powered by our friends at Motherhood for Good, Kate Duffy and Danielle Scampini-Lynn with us as often. Kate, Danielle, how are you guys?
Good. How are you doing?
Well, all right. Danielle, haven't talked to you for a while. Life treating
you
well? I
know. It's been a bit. Yeah, things have been a little busy with the back to school season and it's suddenly being, you know, winter apparently. But things have been good and we've just been hitting the trail and
I was gonna say there's this other thing, this election thing that's going on as well.
And
for all of these weeks, you have helped us talk to all kinds of legislators, legislative candidates, people from independent groups. And today we're moving on to the US Senate race. And for that, I thank you at Motherhood for Good very much for helping arrange our visit this morning with Senator Tammy Baldwin. Senator, good morning. How are you?
I'm great. We have 19 days to go, and I am having the pleasure of traveling all over the state of Wisconsin in the final days, trying to reach voters where they are. It's been an exciting race, but it's a tight race, and we've all got to do our part to get out the vote.
It's funny. It is that is just Wisconsin's known for dairy, for the Packers, and for close elections. And it's why you're getting around the state. You've had that bus tour with Governor Evers and Governor Whitmer. You've had Vice President Harris, Governor Walz all coming through the state. And what does that tell you about what you have to be telling voters in these final 19 days, whether it's folks who need to be persuaded one way or the other, or maybe the better thing is persuaded to vote. What is it that you want them to know about the importance of this election date?
Well, we're the battleground state, and I mean the battleground state. We were the tipping point in 2016 to get enough electoral votes for Donald Trump when he won the state by 0.7%. And we were the tipping point state for Joe Biden in 2020 when he won the state by 0.6%. If anyone in this state says their vote doesn't matter, they could not be more wrong. These races are decided by a couple of votes per precinct in the state. And so I think that given the stakes of this election, whether it be our rights and freedoms, or just everyday issues like the high cost of things and the high cost of groceries and gas and housing and childcare, the need for good paying jobs and quality healthcare, all of those things are on the line. And people's voice is their vote Their vote is their voice, both ways around. And we need to exert our voices to help encourage our family members, neighbors, and friends to get out there.
Yeah, it's get out the vote season. It's talk to your neighbors, talk to your friends, talk to literally everybody you've ever met in your life that lives in Wisconsin. It's like that kind of season, push the pride away and reach out to everybody, right? I want to touch on something you just talked about, Senator Baldwin, the high cost of things. So a lot of our community is like women and moms who hold a lot of purchasing power, and economy is a really big thing for them. I know inflation is down and the economy and market is actually in a really good place, but a lot of people still aren't feeling that because things like groceries are so high. I know you've talked about the reason for that being corporate greed and corporate profits. Can you talk a little bit more about that, about why people aren't seeing relief there?
Kate, that's such a good question. And one of the examples I like is very much a mom example. Think about the cost of diapers, right? Disposable diapers I'm talking about. So the big input is like pulp, paper pulp, right? It's a paper product. And by the way, we're like the lead paper producer and in the country here in Wisconsin. But, you know, during the time of the pandemic, all of our supply chains got totally screwed up. And so there were, you know, the demand for diapers didn't drop, but the supply of diapers did. And so what happens then? Simple economics, the price goes up. But since then, our supply chains have reset. And the makers of diapers have seen their input costs go down by 75%. So did we see a price drop for diapers of 75%? No. We have seen over the like three inflationary years a 14% increase in prices. But corporations have seen 75% increases in profits. That's corporate price gouging in my mind. And right now we are pushing to pass legislation that would allow, you know, a cop on the beat who's fighting for consumers. It would be the Federal Trade Commission. And just, I think, the simple threat of being able to investigate allegations of price gouging would probably result in a different sort of corporate behavior. But, you know, that's just one example among so, so many. You know, there's been watchdog groups that have listened in on quarterly corporate earnings reports, and they've been saying, well, you know what? The consumers are tolerating our high prices. There's no reason to to drop them. And then we've talked about this before, but the shrinkflation thing, oh my gosh, like Dawn dish detergent. It used to be a 7-ounce bottle. Now it's same size bottle, but it's only filled with 6.5 ounces, whether it's fewer Doritos in the big family package. I mean, on and on and on. And, you know, say they charge the same price, but you're getting less of the product. You do it with paper towels and toilet rolls, you name it. We're getting gouged and we have to figure out a way to fight back.
Yeah. You're talking to, you know, two moms of young kids who are definitely seeing the groceries fly off the shelves a little bit faster. And is it because they're eating more? Maybe not. Maybe it's because everything's a little bit smaller. So yeah, thank you so much for addressing one of, you know, our community's like true kitchen table issues, literally. Mm-hmm. Another thing that is, you know, so important to our community is reproductive freedom and reproductive health care. And while there are a few clinics that have opened back up in Wisconsin, we still live in a state where abortion is extremely restricted. And we've seen like very real stories of, you know, Kate and I heard a really powerful story of a woman just a few weeks ago when Governor Whitmer was here talking about how she was, you know, having kind of a later term miscarriage and could not receive the care because of these bans. And so, you know, that is something that obviously matters so much to our community, so much to so many people in Wisconsin. And, you know, your opponent is someone who is barely qualified to run for office, let alone make decisions about someone's health care. Yeah. So just wondering, like, you think we can do to make it clear as we're talking to people just how important this issue is at the ballot box, particularly in the Senate race this year?
Yeah, so this issue is all about who decides. And I hear politicians like my opponent say, you know, oh, the state should decide, or the federal government should decide, women should decide, full stop. That's what I believe, and that's why I'm leading on the Women's Health Protection Act, which is a bill that would make Roe v. Wade the law of the land throughout this nation, so that your rights and freedoms don't depend upon your zip code. And I just want to emphasize that in a state like Wisconsin. In Wisconsin, we have a criminal abortion ban that was passed in 1849. That has resulted in care being unavailable, illegal, and inaccessible in 69 out of 72 counties. That means your rights and freedoms don't just depend upon the state you live in, but the zip code you live in. And our rights and freedoms should not be zip code dependent ever. You know, and I'm, you know, it's frustrating because my, you know, my opponent did run for office once before, back in 2012. And he said he was 100% opposed to abortion rights. We have him on tape and video saying that. Of course, now, oh, that's a lie. That's a lie. Just to be real, he's trying to change his position. So be it. Even with his changed position, he thinks states should decide rather than women. He celebrated the Roe v. Wade decision. He owns the chaos that exists across this country where there are states that have no exceptions for rape and incest, where there are states that have 6-week bans, Idaho that has a restriction, a criminal restriction on out-of-state travel to access the care that you need. There are doctors under the threat of prosecution, and now we know women are dying. This is not a tenable position on the part of my opponent, and we've got to make that clear to every voter who cares about this issue.
Senator Tammy Baldwin is our guest on our Women Win Wisconsin segment, powered by Motherhood for Good, here on Up North News Radio. Senator, we know that the border, immigration, and fentanyl coming over the border have been issues that have been amplified, I would argue, disproportionate to some of the needs of the moms who are listening and their families. But these are still real issues nonetheless. And there seem to be mixed messages out there about your record when it comes to fentanyl and, you know, stemming this terrible epidemic of use and of deaths. So I'd like you to clarify what your actions have been on the border on fentanyl and what it is that's getting in the way of getting things done.
Absolutely. So I'll start with the border. We know that we need to restore order there. And this past winter into the spring in the Senate, we negotiated a very strong bipartisan bill that would have added 1,500 new Border Patrol agents to our southern border. It was endorsed by the very conservative Border Patrol Union. The additional thing it would do that was very relevant to your question about illicit fentanyl coming in from the southern border is that it would have deployed technology that would be capable of scanning every vehicle entering into our ports of entry. You know, it's kind of like, I think of it like when I travel and go through TSA at the airport. They have technology that can see into our baggage without opening it. We now have that sort of technology available for our ports of entry. And this bill would have deployed that technology to our ports of entry. It would have allowed us to interdict far more illegal fentanyl than we are able to today with hand inspections of most vehicles, not most vehicles, occasional vehicles, because that's the personnel that's available. And so why isn't this law? It isn't law because Republicans like my opponent, Eric Hovde, wanted an issue to run on. He wanted to play politics with this, and that was preferable to him than having solutions. Had we passed this spring, we would already have those 1,500 Border Patrol agents in place. we would have already been deploying this technology, saving hundreds of lives in the state of Wisconsin by limiting the supply of illicit fentanyl coming in. They wanted politics. And you can see the ads they've run as my proof point. We wanted solutions. It's a clear and simple contrast. But the second thing I want to talk about, and I'm so glad you asked it, was that, you know, the issue of drug addiction, overdose is really, really personal to me. My mother struggled with addiction to prescription narcotics that her doctors gave her to deal with her chronic pain. And when I first came into the U.S. Senate, the leading cause of overdose and addiction were prescribed medication. Fentanyl was not on the scene yet. And we worked really hard to change prescribing practices across this nation, in the VA and in the private healthcare settings. And we did, but people who were struggling with addiction turned to heroin. And then we picked up our fight to combat heroin. And then the scourge of fentanyl came around. I fought very hard for a bill called the Fend Off Fentanyl Act, which looks at the entire supply chain, from the precursor chemicals in China to the pill presses and distribution from the Mexican cartels. That is one of many measures that I have worked on and been successful on, and we have more yet to do to get Narcan deployed across our communities, to get our first responders trained on how to prevent exposures to themselves, but also to treat people with Narcan. It is a battle we must all engage in, but one that I've been very proud to lead in the United States Senate.
We are talking with Senator Tammy Baldwin. We will wrap up our conversation right after this. You're up north. One more quick question. Kate Duffy, why don't you take that?
So, Senator Baldwin, one other thing I wanted to talk about that kind of parlays into what we were just talking about is just healthcare overall, which, you know, should be a very big bipartisan issue. Everybody needs healthcare. If Republicans were to take control of the Senate, and if, you know, God forbid, Donald Trump got elected, they're talking about getting rid of the Affordable Care Act. This is something that millions of Americans rely on for health insurance. And I know you've been really involved. You were actually the person responsible for the provision that allows young people to be on their parents' insurance till they're 26. Can you talk a little bit about why it's so important that we protect that, especially in terms of the U.S. Senate?
Absolutely. You know, prior to the Affordable Care Act, people with pre-existing health conditions, people struggling with cancer, diabetes, asthma, or just children who had illnesses that they've recovered from, couldn't get health insurance because the insurers were able to discriminate and cherry pick who they covered. The Affordable Care Act changed all of that. And I was so proud to be a part of writing that bill. I was one of those children with a pre-existing condition that had no health insurance throughout my youth. And so I get it fundamentally. My opponent said that he would be a vote to repeal it. It would strip healthcare away from millions of people with pre-existing conditions. That's about one in three Wisconsinites. And he called my provision that you just called out, allowing young people to stay on their parents' health insurance until age 26, he called it stupid. That is condescending, frankly. It shows how out of touch he is. You know, he owns a $3 billion California bank, but I don't think he gets us in Wisconsin. In fact, he was callously saying that people struggle with their weight should pay more in their health insurance premiums. You know, I'm going to keep on fighting, not only to keep the Affordable Care Act, but we need to build on it. We need to do more to lower drug prices. I'm proud of the progress we've made, but we need to do a lot more. And that's what I'm going to fight to do.
As someone who took advantage of that when I was fresh out of college, you know, it really helped me transition to my, you know, adult years. I did not get a job right out of college that provided me health insurance. So I took advantage of that till I was 26, and it really did make a difference. So thank you for actually making a difference in, you know, real people's lives.
Thank you.
It's been making a difference in so many lives. Just ask Judy Vance's mother. Yes. But that's a story that we covered earlier, and I'm sure we'll mention again. Senator Baldwin, thank you for being so generous with your time. And again, the debate tomorrow evening with Eric Hovde, you can hear that on Civic Media coverage starting at 6:50. Senator, thank you so much. Safe travels. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you.
And certainly an interview like that would generate some comments here. So let's address a couple of them. Rich on Facebook writes, "So now that Senator Herb Kohl is gone, now you are concerned with a successful businessman winning, even as Tammy Baldwin spends more than Eric Hovde?" Well, that's something we've addressed on this show repeatedly. Herb Kohl was a very successful businessman. He was also, prior to being elected, a longtime officer, activist, just an overall leading figure in Democratic Party circles. Everybody knew when he first ran for office who he was, where his values were, and he had proven himself time and again to not be just another Scrooge McDuck kind of character, that he actually wanted to serve the people along with his wealth. So there is no comparison between Herb Kohl and Eric Hovde, besides whatever might be in the bank balance. Randy puts on Facebook, "Republicans don't care about the border. Bowing to Trump and stopping the bipartisan bill and then using it as a campaign issue shows the lack of care to protect Americans." And then Luke, this last one was somebody on YouTube under the handle Ant Farm Diary. And I lost count after he posted like 10 different times. So I tried to put the best of it on here, but I have to put it on a crawl and I have to read fast here. "Oh, you guys have TDS, Trump Derangement Syndrome. Got it. Russian ads were like $100,000 in a campaign of billions. The Russian collusion was invented by the Democrat Party, stopped the country for 2 years and crippled the presidency. And he notes that nobody was held accountable." Yeah, I agree with you on that, that a certain somebody was not held accountable in terms of what you're trying to allege about Russia.
Ant Farm Diary, I'll let you know that the only force that stopped the government for those 2 years was the Unified Republican Party. They had unified control of Congress. They had the House. They had the Senate. And they had the White House with Donald Trump, and they shut down the government. Like, Social Security checks weren't going out. The services that the federal government does stopped because they could not fund a government. They could not run a government. It had nothing to do with Russian collusion or whatever you want to say stopped the government. Republicans had unified control and could not run the government.
But we appreciated the comment, and then the second comment, the third comment, the fourth comment, the fifth comment, at which point I was very concerned about Ant Farm Diary. The sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, and tenth arguments, I think, made his point. Didn't change any minds, but definitely made his point. It's going to be a busy day here in Wisconsin with Vice President Kamala Harris. Vice President Kamala Harris is in Milwaukee meeting with UWM students this morning, then has a rally in La Crosse this afternoon, both of those events with billionaire Mark Cuban, who's supporting her, and then a rally this evening in Green Bay. And then, of course, as we mentioned, there is the debate tomorrow starting at 6:50, Civic Media coverage of the debate between Senator Tammy Baldwin and Republican challenger Eric Hovde. Thanks to all of you for being with us today. Our usual stellar cast of Friday regulars is coming up tomorrow here on Up North News Radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Have a wonderful Thursday, and we'll see you tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. here up north.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.